Everyone, for just all your guys' prayer and support as our team took the trip. And we just also want to thank you again for the time that we can come before you guys and just kind of share a little bit of our hearts and what we were able to experience over there. I know you guys won't get the full effect from what we experienced, but we do hope that you get a fraction of that. And also, too, I do want to thank Jerry for just the opportunity to speak up here this morning. I may be able to get used to this up here in front of you. While we're over there, you know, we worked very well as a team. We all kind of had our own unique gifts. Sandy was very good with the Kenyan women. It was just very neat to see how she was able to relate to them. Brittany and her compassion for the children, it just drew the kids around her. I mean, you would always see kids just surrounding Brittany or Brittany holding one of the kids out there. Ryan was always kind of noticing all the next work projects and how we were going to get those accomplished and things like that. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to a third world country, but everything over there you've got to barter for. And we had somebody that was just an awesome barterer that was part of our group. Over there, 60 shillings is equal to $1. So this candlestick here, you know, an average person, I mean, it's a nice souvenir. You'd probably pay 300 shillings for it. But our team member, Greg Pollitt, he paid an amazing 1,600 shillings for one of these. Not a set, but one. So, Greg, we really appreciate your bartering skills, and we appreciate what you brought to the table there. But just as we were different people with different unique gifts going on our trip, we all do have spiritual gifts. You know, we all as Christians have spiritual gifts that can place a significant purpose in God's plan of missions. Let's take a look at our scripture today. I'm going to set this down before I knock it over. Some of our souvenirs didn't make it through the trip home, so I don't want to lose another one. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again so much for this day that we can freely come to read from your word and just dig in a little bit deeper, Lord. I pray that you will just give us, Lord, the grace to take your scriptures to heart, Lord, and to apply them to our lives and to see how we can better serve you and bring you honor and glory. I pray now that you just be with the remainder of this service as we bring up multiple people to speak. I pray that you will give them the words to speak and the clarity of thought, and I pray that you will just be honored. In your name I pray, amen. Just, I guess my continued prayer today is that you guys will be challenged to find your part in God's plan of missions. But let's dig a little bit deeper into our scripture here. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul is speaking here to the Christians in Rome. We see that by the reference of brethren. And in the first 11 chapters, Paul had started off just giving tons and tons of doctrine and biblical truths to the church in Rome. And then in verse 12 is when he kind of starts his application process and giving the application part of his letter. Like I said, Paul points out that the Roman Christians are brethren in Christ by the mercies of God. It's not because of anything that they did themselves, but it was an act of God that brought them into that brotherhood. And Paul is appealing to the Romans. It says he is appealing. He's not commanding them to do what he's saying, but he is strongly urging to heed the words that he is sharing with them in his letter. After Paul states that he's making the appeal to his brethren, he uses what I think is a key verse in Scripture. It says, by the mercies of God. None of what he's about to write is possible except for the mercy of God being involved in his life. That's just something to keep in mind as we are all solely dependent on what God does in our lives and the mercy that he shows us. Paul says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Only through those mercies of God are we able to live be a living sacrifice. Only through the mercies of God are we able to be holy. And only through the mercies of God, sending his son to die on the cross, are we able to be acceptable to God. The rest of the verse says, which is your reasonable service? I like the way the ESV translates this portion of the verse. It says, which is your spiritual worship? So all the things that came before, living a sacrificial life, being holy, being acceptable, is all done with an attitude of worship. Everything is focused and centered on God. Because that is ultimately why we are here. We are here to worship God, to glorify him, and to bring him honor. So what does that look like in the 21st century for us Christians today? We are to give God glory by living our day-to-day lives, showing, being an example to those around us. It's also being willing, not maybe necessarily to give up our lives for Christ, if that should happen, but sometimes it's even harder just to live that life for Christ, to suffer that ridicule maybe at work, or to be humiliated, or just not feel that sense of belonging here in this world, because we are not of this world. But all of that is done with the intent of spreading the gospel and glorifying God. So we need to let every act of our body be an act of worship. Now into verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. The Roman Christians of that day and the Christians of today, we are to be new creatures. And how do we continue to become that new creature? It's by the continual prayer day in and day out to God our Father. It's seeking him in prayer. It's seeking him in his scriptures. We are to dig into there. It's to be, as Jerry says, we need to have meaningful Bible study throughout the week. We can't just hear it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights. We need to have our own personal time where we seek God in a quiet place. But by doing that, we will just know and know more and more of our Lord and Savior and what his will is for us. Paul goes on in verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. Paul is saying here, the words of wisdom that he is sharing with these Romans, he's saying, it's all because of the grace that God has given to me. He's showing, being an example of humility there to them. John Piper said this about grace and thinking soberly in verse 3. First, grace gives peace of mind. Grace means that God is for us and not against us. If you are what you are by grace, by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, if you have your role in the body according to grace, then it's what's best for you and it's what's best for the body of Christ. And you can rest in God's goodness. Grace means what he gives you is good for you, and that gives peace of mind. The second effect of grace is that it gives humility. Grace not only means God is for you, it also means that you didn't earn it or you don't deserve it. It's free, and that's what grace means. Romans 11:6 says, if it is by grace, it is no longer by works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Grace, by definition, means you didn't earn it, and therefore you can't boast. The only proper response is then humility. So thinking with sound judgment means that your thinking is permeated with this awareness that your role is by grace and not merit. So sound judgment is humble judgment. The third effect of knowing that your role is a gift of grace is the effect of power. So you have peace, humility, and now power. The reason is simple. God's grace is powerful. And the reason it's powerful is because it's God's. Grace isn't mere permission to serve. It's not mere obligation to serve. It's not a mere calling to serve, but grace is power to serve. Grace is God's presence in you, freeing you from the power of sin to serve the body of Christ. So that's the way that Paul shows what sound judgment is in verse 3. He sets an example of humble thinking himself by saying that the only reason he can speak with the authority that he has is because it's grace given to him by the Lord. And with its effects, you have peace, humility, and power, which is all God's doing, nothing of your own. So we can see that we're to be humble, not to become prideful of the natural gifts and talents that we have, but realize that God has given us that gift. God has given us that to serve him and to honor him. Those of you that may have kids may be able to relate, I'm sure you can relate to this, but when Kennedy was younger, when she was first learning to walk, you walk with them, they got a hold of your little fingers here, and you're walking them along, and they got this big old grin on their face, and you're all smiling like, oh, hey, I'm doing this all by themselves. But we know, that we as parents or as adults are holding them up. We are giving them the strength to do that. And that's kind of like how we are with God. We are always dependent on him, though. We never grow up. We are always in need of God's grace to accomplish anything in life. Scripture indicates that God has given each of us as Christians gifts. Those that are different, we receive those by grace as individuals. But we are individuals that make up the whole body of Christ so that we can function to glorify him the greatest. Now into the following verses 4 through 8 again. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. In prophecy, in portion of faith, if service in our serving, and the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Paul uses the illustration of the body and its many parts to make up the whole. I think it's a great illustration. We all have organs. We have heart that pumps the blood to all the different parts of the body. We have different senses. We have the eyes to see, the nose to smell, and the mouth to taste. Just as the many parts of our bodies have specific roles and specific jobs, so do the many members of that make up the body of Christ. And just as the parts of our physical bodies aren't competing against each other, but they're working together to function as a whole, so also as we as fellow Christians in Christ should work together and not necessarily be jealous of someone else's gifts. We need to realize that God has given you the gift that he's given you and the gift that he's given to someone else for a specific reason and for a specific role to help glorify him and nothing to do with us again. God is what changes people's lives. And we have to remember that he's the one that does the changing. Thankfully and graciously, he uses us as the instruments to do that changing. So we get to take part in that. He doesn't need us, but he allows us to be a part of that. This passage just goes on, and lists some of those gifts, but by no means are those exhaustive. Is that an exhaustive list? You may have portions of those gifts. You may have a combination of those gifts. But everybody has their own individual gifts. And the gifts are used for your own edification as well as the body of Christ. But most importantly, the gifts that God has given you is to glorify him. So what does this have to do with missions? I believe an application that we can be made from this passage is God has given us all different gifts to bring him glory. Some of us are going to be going on mission or going to the mission field. Some of us are going to be supporting those who go on the mission field financially, or maybe even just with encouraging words, whether it's through a note, phone call. Missionaries need that. We had heard that time and time again, when we were over there, just how encouraging we can be. Some of you may even end up being an encouragement to us when you come over, when we're over there and you come over on a missions trip. The families that we went and visited, Jim and Susie Horn and Bobby and Lisa Bechtel, they said time and time again, they are so encouraged when they have groups like ours come over and they get just a new zeal for their mission as they see, when we see it for the first time, what God is doing on the mission field. It's an amazing thing. And then they get to feed off that. So many of you could be that person for us when we get over there, or even if you go on any other mission trip to anywhere else, being an encouragement to those missionaries. So I'd like to challenge you today just to seek God in prayer. Search His Holy Scriptures for His will in your life and find out what part in missions you can play. We all have a part, and God has set that aside for us, but we have to seek that part and be willing to use that gift to honor Him. So I want to know, go home today and think to yourself, what am I going to do to help reach the world for Christ? God has given everyone a gift to help the whole body of Christ function better and to reach the world for Christ. So what is your role? Jerry, if you want, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the day. We thank You for just Your word, Lord, and just the little truths that we can pull from it day in and day out. Lord, I pray that You would just work in our hearts, Lord, so that we can see how we can take part and be instruments of You to serve You and to honor You and to reach this world for You, Lord. There's so many people that need You, and there's so many people that need You now. I pray that we will just do our best to seek You and to honor You and reach them. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Let's prayerfully stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed to just take a few moments to evaluate what we've just heard from Romans 12. And the challenge that Aaron has placed before us is that we would seek God to know our role. Because here's what we know. As a believer, we have a part in evangelism. We do know that. And what is our role? Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Christ. That's the first issue you have to address. For our guests and members, we have a prayer room over to my right. Even as I'm speaking, we just want to give you the opportunity to respond as God is working in your heart. Perhaps even in issues that had nothing to do with today's message. But you want someone to pray with you or for you. Following few moments are always so important after hearing God's word. You're here this morning and you say, realizing that God knows the details, but you say, Pastor, I want you to know that the Lord is working in my heart in some areas. It may be missions, it may be ministry, or it may be just circumstances and issues that you're facing right now at home, at work, in your neighborhood. With your own life, in your marriage, with your children. I mean, the list could go on and on, but God is speaking to your heart, and you say, Pastor, keep me in your closing prayer. Just hold up your hand, and the Lord knows the details. Amen. 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 Oh, Father, thank You for the ministry of prayer. And thank You that it's Christ who intercedes on our behalf. He is our high priest. He is our boasting. And as we heard this morning, it is by the mercies of God, it is by Your grace and Your goodness that we're able to serve You and honor You. Oh, Father, help us all to seek Your will. And I pray for those who raise their hand. Oh, Father, this is not a token prayer, but what they're wrestling with or what they're seeking or what they're concerned about or what these issues are, God, I pray that they would see You and Your will in the midst of them. We ask this in our wonderful Savior's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Aaron Boone, you did a wonderful job this morning. I want you to know that. That was a good presentation there, Romans 12, the first 8 verses. All right, we would like to continue on with the presentation from Team Kenya, so they have their schedule, so I won't need to come up and introduce those who are speaking if they would just follow their schedule accordingly. So We'll begin with Brittany Palfrey and Elisa Kunkel.
Hi, I'm Elisa. Me and Brittany are going to talk to you a little bit today about the kids that we met in Kenya. And a lot of these children really don't even get a chance to be kids. Most of them at a young age have to take care of their younger siblings, do work around the house that needs to be done. So they really rarely ever get a chance to just play and be kids. And we saw that. It was really cool to be able to get to just spend time with them, play soccer with their little deflated soccer balls. They had a blast, and it was just really cool to see them just be able to be kids for just a few minutes. I think one of the missionaries was telling us that there's an organization that comes and builds these huge playground sets. They were really cool, and the first day they got it built, the kids were just standing around it. They didn't know what to do. They were like, "What is this?" So one of the missionaries went around and went down the slides, swung on the swing, and did everything. And then it's just really sad that you have to teach them how to play and how to be creative because they're not used to doing these things on their own. We're also talking to one of the cooks. She was telling us that most of the girls at about 9 or 10 have to be married off to these older men, so their fathers get a dowry and they don't have responsibility for them anymore. That was very heartbreaking, and to be able to get, I got to play volleyball with some of the older girls, and to see them just forget about like their troubles and their problems for just a second. Sorry, it's very heartbreaking, and I was very thankful for what God has given to me and how He's blessed me. So it was really awesome to get to know these kids and to see them be kids for a little bit. And I really thank you guys so much for allowing us to be able to go on this trip. I can't express to you how much it meant to me and to our team. I know. And thank you so much for your prayers. And if you get a chance to go over there ever, you should. It'll really make a difference. And thank you so much. I'm very proud to be part of this church and this team. And there's Brittany.
Now that I'm crying too. I'm Brittany, and I'm here to talk a little bit more about what the kids experience. It's difficult to try to portray the level of poverty and suffering there, but the missionaries described how many of the kids, before they came to the feeding centers, their hair was starting to fall out and their bellies were bloating due to the severe level of starvation before they came to the feeding centers. So many of them are in desperate situations, and these feeding centers are saving their lives. There's 5 different feeding centers that we visited there. Each had about 120 to 200 kids, and many of the feeding centers had waiting lists to get into the feeding center of up to like 500 kids. So, I mean, even with 5 feeding centers there, there's still a huge need. And like Elisa said, the kids, they just don't know how to be kids there. The missionary described how they're too busy collecting firewood and taking care of siblings, like Elisa said. They're just in constant survival mode. So, I mean, taking time out to play and use their imagination is just not something that they do. You'll see in the video they didn't know how to play with the bears that you guys bought for them to give to them. They just looked at them like, all right. So we had to kind of show them how to play with them. So in going to the feeding centers, advice that was given to us by the missionary was it's just as simple as showing love for the kids and give them a fun time with no worries and just show them the love of God. And so that was one of our main objectives going to the different feeding centers. There's hope for these kids and for Africa, but we got to get busy and we can help them. So I appreciate your prayers and your support. Thank you.
I'm Matt Guzman. My wife is, again, she's out of town. But I want to talk to you just briefly from a parent's perspective. But real quick, Psalm 116, verse 12 says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" As a parent, I want you to think of all the care and all the nurturing that goes into a relationship. I want you to think about the activities and your thoughts just on a daily basis, your daily routine. Now I want you to think of the total opposite, as horrible as you can get, of that. And that's just a glimpse of the African existence. Their main goal every day is to survive. Families are large. The youngest eat last. And children are seen as just another mouth to feed. As we walk through Kibera in Nairobi, one of the first places we went, babies were crying in the background. Little kids, little ones, I mean, we're talking 3 and 4 year olds, alone, standing, walking, sitting amongst the trash, sewage. At another feeding center we went to in Mombasa, in Nairobi, a little boy in probably the only pair of pants or shorts that he had on wet himself, to no surprise to anyone. No one was amazed. At Vipingo in Mombasa, and also at Gospel Feeding Center, it was heartbreaking because the kids, all they wanted was love and to touch. And all of them will attest, as we're in the fields playing with these kids, they would fight over who got to hold your hand. And if they weren't holding your hand, they were holding on to your arm, or they were grabbing your waist, or they were grabbing your leg. All they wanted was love and affection from a parent, from someone, anyone. And we were there to give them that. And it was hard to know that you couldn't give them all the love that they needed. At Tiwi, at every feeding center, we all got to go to different classes, and we mixed it up. You know, we went from the smallest to the oldest. Ryan Kunkel and I, on the last day, the last visits we'd made, were at Tiwi, and we were with the older kids, which was really great because they actually understood English, you know, and we were able to teach our lesson, and they understood. And in the sixth grade class, one of the boys, he raised his hand and he asked if he could ask a question. I was, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, sure. So he was, as I walked over to get closer so I could hear him, I looked down and he had taken notes on paper and pencil, with a pencil that was just barely big enough to write with. And paper is at a premium in Africa and Kenya. But yet this little boy took the time to take notes on David and Goliath. And it brought to mind how the Bible says, as we read this morning in Matthew, to make disciples. The physical needs are endless. But as instruments of God, we can carry the cure for their spiritual needs as well. We have the opportunity to help carry it and assist in its delivering by giving of ourselves as God leads, as Aaron spoke on this morning. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's also a great privilege to think that God's called us to deliver that message. So I pray that one day some of you will be able to see for yourselves, as Brittany and Elisa said, to come over and see and to be able to smile with the kids and see them laugh and to see them play and to see them sing about God and to see them quote scriptures as they did for us. It's a stark contrast to those on the outside of the villages and all because they have eternal hope.
Good morning. All right, so my name is Michael Paul, and hopefully we've gotten a little bit of a chance to get to know each other, and I hope to get to know you guys a lot more. And I get the opportunity to introduce the video to you because we're about to watch it. We're all really excited. Steph did an amazing job of just producing this thing. And so everybody get your popcorn ready. It's only about an hour and 45 minutes long, so we should have you out of here sometime this evening. No, but seriously, on being over on this trip, one thing that when you come back, everyone's like, how was it? And that's the most general question you can be asked, really. And you can't squeeze this two-week period into, you know, a five-minute conversation. And so I found myself at a loss for words. And the thing that always kind of hit home for me what were the statistics? So here are just a couple things that we learned, and you've heard a couple of them already. At Kibera, there are 1.2 million people who live in 1 square mile, whereas Brittany thought 1 acre. 90% of the children at that feeding center are orphans. At Tiwi, 90% of the children are coming from Muslim homes. So we have to be they have to be very careful about what they hand to them to take home, or things like that. And yet, in the little time that they have with them at these schools and class, they're teaching them about Christ and his love and hope. And they're getting to take this in to their brothers and sisters. It's just an amazing thing to see. And as Brittany said, each of these feeding centers, there's a waiting list of at least 500 people. And Jim Horn said he actually doesn't keep a waiting list at one of his feeding centers because it would be in the thousands and pointless to take control of that. So here's the thing. So you're hearing all of these needs, and when I was hearing them all, what I heard, I kind of sat there like, whoa, what can I do? And I felt kind of like Andrew did when he came to Jesus with a little boy and said, Jesus, here's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is this among so many? What can we do with this? And see, Andrew saw the need. People needed to be fed, right? But what Andrew didn't see was what God could do with such a little thing. So, as we watch the video, and this is exactly what Aaron's talking about. What part are you going to play? You know, the Bible says in Matthew that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So how are you going to come alongside of us? So as we watch the video this morning, I want you just to think about a couple things. Number one, like Elise and them said, their smiling and running around and playing is not a normal thing. That's not something you see there on a daily basis. And secondly, how are you going to come alongside of us and other missionaries? How are you going to labor with us? Everyone's got a different job. And I just pray that you would find that thing that would help you to labor with us. And thank you so much, because this video, this presentation, our trip would not be, it couldn't happen without you. Thanks, guys.
Why, oh why,
why I said I would go after the DVD. I always cried during the whole thing. It's hard to watch because we want to go back so bad. It was really hard to leave, and we just, our whole team has such a sense of urgency to get back there. You heard a little bit about the need. It's tremendous, and it's hard. I'm not going to focus on the need too much because I can't really talk about it. It's hard if you saw the kids in the feeding centers, and then you can see the gates and the kids on the outside of the feeding centers watching the other ones eat and watching them. The first feeding center, I had to just tell myself not to look outside because it's too hard to watch. But that's what I'm going to focus on, what is being done and what can be done, because that's what you have to do. Anyway, the feeding centers, I just kind of wanted to give you guys an idea of what they're like. There's 5 right now in Mombasa, and like Brittany said, I think there's about 130 kids in each feeding center. And all the feeding centers are offering the kids education as well as just the food, which is just for temporary needs. That's incredible because that's not only feeding them and, like she said, saving their lives, but it's giving them an education, which is breaking the cycle of poverty in a whole generation because they have a way to get out. Without that education, a lot of them are stuck in their tribal languages. Not everyone speaks Swahili, and they literally can't get out of their situation. So the fact that they're educating these kids is incredible. And more importantly, you can see the joy on these kids' faces, and they are being fed and they're being taken care of and getting shown love, but they have the joy of the Lord, which is what they didn't have before. And most of these kids came from Muslim homes, and without these feeding centers, they wouldn't have known about the love of God. So you can literally see the difference when you step outside of the feeding centers, the kids there that have no hope, and then you look inside and you see these kids singing about the joy of the Lord and their joy in Him and their comfort in Him when they had none of that before. It's incredible, and it's exciting that we're all getting a chance to be a part of that. Some of these kids, I just kind of wanted to give you an idea of how grateful they are. Different feeding centers work differently. Some give them 2 meals a day, some get 3 meals a day, some just get 1, depending on the area and the money that's given to that feeding center. But these kids are so thankful, and they're so grateful to the Lord, and to hear their little prayers before they eat, it's a beautiful thing to watch. And one of the feeding centers, the one that they only got to eat 1 meal a day, they all got their food, and I was sitting down amongst the children, and they would not eat. They hadn't eaten since 11 o'clock the day before, and they would not eat until they knew that I had my meal set before me. So in another feeding center, Ryan I think he had finished his meal, and the little boy took some of his food and dumped it onto Ryan's plate. It's really humbling to see what little they have, but they're willing to share, and they're so thankful to the Lord for it. And just Jim Horn was talking about what impact the feeding centers not only have on the kids, but have on the community. He says the feeding centers put missionary on steroids, which what he meant by that was that these feeding centers, yes, they're feeding the children, which is wonderful, but they're reaching a community for Christ. These churches that, you know, they are reaching Muslims, which is almost an impossibility, but God's working in these feeding centers in such a wonderful way that the parents have to, if they have a parent or guardian, they have to attend a weekly service or Bible study. So Muslims that would never set foot into a church are coming to the church, and they're coming to Christ. Some of the women that you saw dancing and they were singing about the love of God were Muslim women that are now going to heaven because of these feeding centers. A witch doctor's family, one of his wives and some of his kids are now saved, and they're in the feeding centers. A couple of more things I wanted to talk about was that in these churches, it's kind of humbling because you go there thinking that we have a lot to bestow upon them and teach them, and they taught us so much more. Crossroads, Jim Horn's church, they're sending out a missionary to Pakistan from their church. And they're also sending, they have a 70-year-old man, I think, that's in the Sudan, a little tiny village in the Sudan. These people have never heard about God, and they've sent him out from their church. So it's a humbling experience to go there and see what they're doing to reach the world when we think, you know, as Americans, we're the only ones doing it, I guess. But my dad mentioned Bruce O'Neill, the founder of MANA. He was with us for half of our trip, and we can't say enough about him. He's a great man, and but I just thought it was incredible because of him, this one man, God used him to hundreds of feeding centers. Thousands of people across the world now know God, and children are being fed. And every time we went to a feeding center, he would just say, look what God is doing. Look what God's done. And it was such a sense of humility, but so exciting that our church can do that and be part of that. And even from here, you guys aren't all going to be able to go, but Sandy's going to talk to you a little bit more, that we have the opportunity to reach Kenya just from here in Mason. So it's very exciting. I think Ryan's coming now. Oh, sorry, one more thing. I'm supposed to show you guys two of the feeding centers that we went to made certificates of appreciation for our church for sending our team there, and one of them framed them. So they wanted us to present these to the church and to our pastor because they were so grateful for you guys allowing us to come. So we thank you as well.
My name is Ryan Kunkel, and my wife, Jamie, and like Jerry said, we're expecting a child, our first child in October, and we're so excited about that, and just amazing to see what God's doing in our lives, and we're just excited. And we just personally want to take this time to say thank you to each and every one of you. I wish I could sit down with you and just pour out my heart and say thank you and tell you stories. But we can't. We don't have that much time. But I just want to say thank you for everyone who had prayed, who gave us money to go on the trip, and just supported us, encouraged us. Thank you from my heart, from my wife's heart, and from our whole team. This experience changed my life and has changed many lives in our group. And if we could say one thing, or if I could say one thing, about this whole experience that I could communicate to everyone is, when can we go back? We want to go back, and we can't wait. And this trip, I hope that from everything that we presented, shows sort of what we're going to be doing and what we want to be doing. And I'm supposed to share a little bit about our future plans, our goals, and ideas. But if I would explain all those, it would be a long time because there's just so many ideas and so many opportunities that we could do. But I just want to share some of the major needs that the missionaries shared with us. And we asked them, what are the needs that are here in Mombasa specifically? And with this in mind, we always have to understand that the biggest need is Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we're not going there just to feed kids. We're not going there just to meet the physical needs. Our desire is their heart, that they know Jesus Christ and to preach Jesus, and we can't wait for that opportunity. And the needs that the missionaries said was, we need more churches. Like they said at all the feeding centers, there's at least a waiting list of kids. Think of all the opportunities that more kids can be introduced to Jesus and their families. And there's just a huge need for more churches, and not with American pastors, with national pastors, that so they can understand and so that, you know, they understand them better. And that itself in turn to they need more training. And that was one of the big things that the missionary said is they need training. They need to know how to be a pastor. They need to know how to be a teacher. And what was neat, at one of the feeding centers and schools and churches in Tiwi, they had a Bible Institute where they trained the nationals. And at that time, there was 13 men in that. And I believe there was over 100 that went through the program. And they say we need more of that so we can have more churches. So that's the second great need, not only churches, but training. And then they said, feeding centers everywhere. I mean, the need is there. That's not the problem. It's just a matter of going out there and setting them up. Not only that, schools with the feeding centers, they need training. The kids need to learn their language and to be creative. And then also, they just need, they said the overwhelming amount of that they don't have enough youth, that there's too many youth that they just don't know what to do. Like the youth just don't have much, you know, they're kind of lost. And I work down in the youth group, so it kind of hit home a little bit. And they say huge thing is just youth camps or youth events and like a youth pastor and everything that they need that. And I'm pretty sure that this church knows how to run a youth camp pretty well. So hint, hint for later on in the future that we can do some amazing things over there that will honor God. And if I wish I could tell you stories, I really do, because there are just so many of them. But I believe we did a pretty good job of at least hitting the highlights. But what I want to communicate, we want to go back. And we can't wait. And we thank you so very much for your prayers and support. Thank you.
Jambo, little Swahili. Hello, everyone. I'm Sandy Pollitt, and my husband Greg and I are actually serving as the U.S. coordinators for Team Kenya, and that's going to mean a number of things. It's not all together yet, but our goal is by the time they go in the field, I'll be able to give up my full-time job so we can better support the team, and that's not a job we can do alone. We need the whole church for that, so that's the exciting part, that we might have a name attached to what we do, but we're the bottom of the sending funnel for our church, which is really exciting. Would you turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 2? Luke chapter 10, verse 2. This is from the word that from our Lord Jesus Christ to us, to Grace Baptist Church, to believers. Luke 10, chapter 2. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's us. We get to send. We've been praying for years, and God has blessed us in just a tremendous way. And now it's, you know, we've always been sending. God has always let us send, but now we get a firsthand touch on eternity through Team Kenya. What I want to do is just read a piece out of my journal from the day that we went to the Gospel Center, which is funded by Gospel Baptist Church in Blue Ash, Ohio. They have about 200 members. Gospel Feeding Center is funded by Greg Cooper's Church in Blue Ash, Ohio. The center has classrooms K1, K2, K3, and Standard 1. God's presence was immediately felt there as we peeked into each classroom. While the teachers were given lessons, I could only weep. I wept off and on during our entire visit. At this center, there were 128 kids from the local tribe that were previously starving, had no education, and knew nothing about our Lord. Now, because of a small church in Blue Ash, Ohio, that reached outside themselves and made a commitment by faith, these children receive two meals a day, are getting an excellent education, and are singing praises to Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Gospel Baptist Church. It was such a joy to spend the day there. TK broke up in the groups and taught about David and Goliath, and then they learned a new song. The children were really studious, and Madam Janet, the head teacher, had taught them very well. There were lots of laughs, and they loved getting crowns and suckers. Thank you, Grace Baptist Church. Outside, we taught some new games and learned some new games from the kids during PE. Lunch was rice and beans with a few slices of bananas, which was a treat. They don't always get bananas and things like that. The kids watched us. They watched us and wanted us to sit with them. They were always touching us. No one eats until everyone's served. And during the time of waiting, the kids were actually offering us their suckers. It was amazing. My prayer for that day, Awesome Father, what a sweet spirit at Gospel Center. I praise your holy name. Your grace and mercy flow beautifully through the center. May these children continue to sing you praises until they meet you face to face. It warms my heart in a very special way to see all of you, all you have accomplished through the Gospel Center. May this village recognize your hand as an eternal blessing, and this village be saved in a radical way. I asked Jim Horn, who is he and his wife have been missionaries to Mombasa for 32 years. Jim, what would your vision be if you had 10 people that could go to Kenya? And he said, I'd land them with the biggest explosion in one village, that they would all come together through their local church and penetrate this village and teach them and reach them through the gospel by using the feeding center, the church, and the school. And it was really exciting because, you know, Greg and I had a special view of the team during all these times. And if I could describe it, I'd say their soul was leaping just to hear the enthusiasm from another missionary about the excitement of bringing a team of 10 people to Mombasa, and that they would just multiply their ministry. They would do it all and they would learn from each other and just let that excitement spread. We went to several centers. Altogether, we probably saw over 1,200 kids on our trip. In Mombasa alone, through the five centers, there's almost 900 kids. And one thing you might not understand is there are two missionary couples that are running five centers that are reaching almost 900 kids. We have 10. We have 10 people going on the field. What can God do through Grace Baptist Church with the 10 people that he's blessed us with? One thing that Greg and I realized, and this will really hit home for you, is when we give to missions, we think that we have to, you know, to make a difference, you got to give a bunch of money. And what we saw was every dollar that you give in Kenya counts. It goes a long way. And that was really exciting because it's easier to bring your family together to get involved. What can your family do? Can you have a missions jar? Do you know $20 feeds a child for a whole month? Do you know $25,000 builds a new school building with three classrooms? It's just to see the numbers and how you can impact. I mean, kids, you can make a difference by putting your money aside and giving to missions. And the thing is, it's an eternal blessing for us. Can you imagine? Heaven will just be a different place because Grace Baptist Church reached outside of themselves. There will be souls there rejoicing. This is eternal for us. I mean, we get so much joy in giving God the glory now, and we just can't outgive him. He's going to give us so much back now and in eternity. So it's just a beautiful picture that God's given us to really come together as the body of Christ to do something powerful in a mighty way. 10 people. Just be praying now that that the children that haven't been reached yet, that they will stay safe until our team can get there and make a difference in their life through God's word. Thank you so much.
Well, very challenging, very convicting, and obviously as the months go by, we're going to be sharing more ways that you can be involved individually and as a family. We would, our ushers, are they prepared? And all right, if they'll make their way to the front. If you are a guest, again, welcome, and thank you for being here at Grace. We do ask, as we're receiving our offering, if you're our guest, if you just pass that plate by for our members. But this gives us an opportunity to be obedient in our own giving. And then after the offering, Pastor Cal will come up and dismiss us. We would like to ask at the end if Team Kenya would maybe just stay up here for a little bit. We won't form a formal line, but if you'd like to come up.